Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
One or more stories in the news here lately where people flee from law enforcement, and they go into a chase, and the law enforcement, when they flee, they'll give chase to them and go after them and eventually catch them. One of the stories was in Moore County just a few days back, and actually ended up in the crash, and two people went to the hospital, but the deal is law enforcement caught them. I was visiting my friend, Pastor Jared Middall from South Lawn, and he spoke. He came home the other day, and he looked in his yard and had tracks that had went across his yard and skid marks on his driveway, and come to find out it was another hot pursuit that had went across there, and times past he's had one hit a tree in the yard and different things like that. But the thing is that most of the time they catch them. I always heard the radios faster than the cars, but hot pursuit. In the book of Philippians, we find Paul writing about a hot pursuit, not after a criminal to know, but after Christ himself, after the Lord. And you find that in Philippians chapter 3, and we'll be there, Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11 this morning. We're going to be talking about the scripture. Now, this passage of scripture has so much preaching, and I've been here, I've visited this before, and we're going to revisit it this morning. But Philippians 3, verses 10 through 11, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you for your presence here today. Lord, we thank you for what you've already accomplished in this service, Lord, as our hearts were open to worship you. Lord, I pray today in this service, Lord, that you would again open our hearts, Lord, to receive your word and challenge us, stir us, Holy Spirit, this morning in this house, God, to come after you, Lord, in such a way, God, that we won't go to the left or to the right, and we'll keep going after you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. The desire that we read in this passage of scripture, or in these verses this morning about Paul, and he says, I want to know the Lord. He says, I'm going to go after the Lord. I'm going to go in hot pursuit after the Lord. This should be the desire for every Christian. Every one of us here this morning should have this desire to know Christ in such a way. It should be something that we make part of our life. A certain intellectual fellow loved to read. He read everything he could find about philosophy, and he became a philosopher. He read everything he could read about mathematics and became a mathematician. He read everything he could find out about swimming, and he drowned. There are some subjects you just have to do more than read about. And truly the Word of God is that. We have to do more than just read about it. The Word of God takes us acting upon what's in the Word. You heard the Word, faith cometh by hearing, you had to act according to what you heard. And I believe we are encouraged to know Christ more every day of our lives. It's not just about getting saved, but it's about pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Word of God asks us to do that. And we can read about pursuing. We can read books about it. There's many books out there about the pursuit of the Lord. But it takes us doing things in our life in order for us to apprehend the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way. And so we find this. I believe when it comes to pursuing the Lord, relationship is the key to know him better. Not religion, but relationship. It's learning to know God. It's learning to know Christ in such a way. Religion gets you nothing but things that you do legalistically many times. Relationship is what brings us into that fellowship that God truly desires in our life. Relationship. This is what Paul is speaking about when he says, I want to know him. I'm going to tell you, when you want to know somebody, you're going to hang out with them. Amen? Some people, I had a young man the other day call me by name coming out of the Calico County restaurant. I had no idea who he was. I said, well, hey, how are you doing? But the deal is, and I had another one say, hey, Pastor, or Billy, how are you doing? And I'm going, do I know you? And when I was ministry director, we used to do the conferences, I'd be on the stage, but I really didn't know. I mean, one, I didn't know all of them out in the sanctuary or so it kind of runs like that. But if we're going to know Christ, we can't know him just because what we read. I mean, this helps us to know him, but we have to enter into a relationship with him to know him better. He's got to be one of our best friends if we're going to know him in a deeper relationship. But listen, that never happens. A desire to pursue a relationship must be there in order for it to happen. Think about Elisha just for a moment. He had a desire to have what Elijah had. But not only was the desire, he seen the works of Elijah, he seen all the miracles, but he had a desire to have that. In order to do that, Elijah made his mind up that he was going to stick to Elijah no matter what. And if we're going to have a relationship with Christ, we must have a desire, because we'll never, ever know him more than we know him today if we don't have a desire in our life. We got to have that desire to pursue in order for it to happen. I remember way back, 38 years ago, when I first laid my eyes upon Robin. She's not here this morning, so I can talk. She's watching the line, I'm in trouble. But I had a desire to know her. I had hair back then, and she was a beautician, and I would get my hair cut quite often. I didn't need it. I just wanted more time with her. Cost me, I forgot how much, that was the cheapest part of our relationship now. But it was a fact. It would have never happened if I wouldn't have had that desire. I wouldn't have been, accidentally here, or accidentally, no, I wasn't stalking her, don't worry. But I had a desire to know her. And so it's the same thing with our relationship. If we want to know Christ more, and this is what Paul's expressing, he had a desire, and that desire he needed to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ, to go after him in such a way. And there should be that desire in every one of us this morning. Listen, our pursuit of knowing Christ should rank over all the pursuits in our life. Everything else in our life, it should rank over everything in our life. The professor Alfred Hitchcock's film, The Lady Vanishes, upon being confronted with evidence that proves his theory wrong, replies, "Nonsense, my theory is perfectly correct. It's the facts that are misleading." Now think about that just for a second. Listen, this seems to be the case when it comes to pursuing Christ. It seems like we have a theory, but the facts are this, and I'm going to give you some facts this morning, is that you can't pursue Christ just in one worship service a week. You can't pursue Christ by not having a prayer life. There's facts that if we're going to go after Christ, there first has to be desire. If you have no desire, you will not pursue Jesus in such a way. It starts within. But I'm going to tell you something else. The fact's this. Other pursuits are not forbidden in our life. There's some other things. Sometimes we figure, this used to be that boring Christian life that I was not able to do anything else. Can I tell you this morning that there are other pursuits in our life that are okay? Amen? I'm not preaching just Jesus and Jesus only this morning. I'm saying we live in a life that we have to pursue other things also. And that's okay. We can pursue higher education. We can pursue nice things and good health and peace among us and money and success in life. Those things are not forbidden in the Scripture. Those things are not forbidden, and those things should not hinder us from pursuing Jesus in a deeper relationship. Listen, I love having nice things. I love the fact that we can do other things in life also. Paul was successful. If you read the passage, the verses before this, Paul was successful in all these areas in life. He was well-educated. He was blessed. He had a nice place. All these things he had been successful in, but yet he still was able to say, I want to pursue Christ more than those. He kept them in the right order. Every pursuit must come into second place to Christ. We spoke of it a little bit in Sunday school class this morning, but every pursuit must come into second place to Christ. I must want him more than I want anything else. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, says, but what things we gain to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Count them as rubbish. Paul's putting things in perspective in life. He's saying, I want to know Jesus more than I want those things. He didn't necessarily say he didn't want those things, but he wanted Christ more. He wanted more of Christ in his life. Can I tell you, if we're going to pursue, if you're going to go after anything in life, you got to make your mind up. If that's something that you want to accomplish, it must be something that you're going to go after. Every pro basketball player, football player, if you knew them while they were young, most of them, that's all they did. When everybody else was going out, they were shooting hoops. They were training. They were doing this. Every Olympic player that is at the Olympics right now have been training for years. It was their number one go in life. And Paul's saying they still had to live. They still had things in their life they had to take care of. But they had something that ranked above all of those things. And if we're going to pursue Christ, he must rank above all, above everything else. Amen? We can put things in order. It's all right. Paul gave us the order of all things in our life and where they should be. They should be second place to our pursuing Christ. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you read that passage of Scripture, all those things are the things that we need in life. So Paul says, if I'm going to pursue God or pursue Christ, then I must put things in the right order. The next thing that we speak of this morning is desiring to know the King brings unlimited benefits. How many, you know, have you figured out in life it's not what you know, but who you know? There have been people that have gotten promotions that didn't deserve them, but yet they knew somebody. There have been people that got hired that were less qualified, but they knew somebody. I'm going to tell you, we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know the one that has always been and always will be. We know the Alpha and the Omega. We know the Savior of all mankind. We know the King that has provided every provision. He's the one that says, seek ye first the kingdom, and I'll provide everything. Hey, would agree with me this morning, it pays. There's benefits to knowing Jesus. There's benefits of going after him and him being part of our life. There's benefits that are lasting. Matter of fact, there's some benefits. I'm reminded when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, it says that their clothes didn't wear out, nor their shoes. There's benefits of being in the family of God. Can I tell you today, there's benefits that last for eternity because we know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to tell you that I got a house or a mansion up there that I'll never have to shingle again. Hallelujah. I'll never have to put some paint on it, nor will Atmos ever dun me for a gas bill. I'm just saying today there's benefits of knowing Jesus Christ. There's benefits of going after him. If that's the case, then why do we not pursue him more? Why do we not go after him more? If we know that it's who we know that makes the difference. Can I tell you something? In the Christian world, we often look at somebody and we think, wow, they are a scholar in the scripture, and they got theology, just all kinds of thoughts, and can write books. Can I tell you, that does them no good unless they know who they're writing about. That's why God can take somebody like Smith Wigglesworth. How many of you have ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? He was a plumber, got saved. And I mean, he was in his late, like 50s or somewhere around there. He was older, and he wasn't educated at all. He couldn't hardly read. But God took him and did tremendous miracles through him. Why? Because Smith Wigglesworth wanted to know the Savior. Amen? God can open this word up to a person that wants to know him. Going after. Desiring to know the King brings unlimited benefits. Can I tell you this morning that one, you've heard it, one does not pursue that which they do not desire. Here's a benefit. I'm going to give you some benefits this morning in these next few minutes. My desire will keep me faithful to the end. If my desire is after the Lord, it will keep me faithful to the end. It will keep me serving God in such a way that I'm going to keep going no matter what happens in my life. I'm going to go after the Lord. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. That's the wrong chapter. He says, yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and consider that rubbish. Verse 11, it also says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. One of the things that were happening with Paul was speaking of this very thing. He says, I am going to pursue the Lord all the way to my last breath. When we make our mind up to go after Jesus and got our focus on him as number one in our life, my friend, we will make it to heaven like the Bible speaks of. It will keep us focused and faithful throughout our life. He says that I may win Christ. That's an interesting thought for someone that's saved, that I might win Christ. Brother, I'm going to tell you, sister, this morning, that if we got our mind up to pursue him, we're going to win him at the end. Amen? We're going to win him at the end. The other thing that another benefit is my desire to know Christ will help me to relate to him. It will help me relate to him. You know, earlier I said it's about relationship. And sometimes when you're in a close relationship, when somebody hurts, you hurt. Why? Because there's a connection that you have learned to have with them. When I see my wife cry, I hurt. When I see my daughters cry, I hurt. When I see some of the people that I pastor cry, I hurt. When I see the passing of one of our church members, my friend, I hurt. Why? Because we have learned to have relationships. We relate with one another. And one of the things when you can't get to know Jesus, if you're going after him in relationships, you're going to feel what he feels. You're going to know what he feels. If Paul wasn't just saying, I just want to feel the blessings from heaven, Paul listed three things there that would help him to relate to our Master and to our Savior. They're not things that would preach a good sermon, but I'm going to tell you, he wanted to relate to Christ. Three things in that verse, verse 10, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It would help us to relate to the power of his resurrection. My friend, today, I believe this would be victory. All of us like to have victory in our life. We spoke of victory. Come down and let the chains drop. Did you know that's victory this morning? The power of the resurrection. Can you imagine the power that went into that room? Many years back, we were out on the softball field, and we were playing softball. And I was a rover. They still have that position where you know they put the guy that goes all over the place. That was me. There was big clouds behind us, and lightning was flashing, and of course we had our aluminum bats and all that good stuff out. We're still playing because we're not scared of the weather. We're out in the field, and all of a sudden a lightning bolt came down and hit a pole right behind us at the concession stand. You could feel the hair on your arms if you're like mine, and they stood up and you felt it on the back. We all hit the ground because of the force and the power of that lightning strike, and it didn't take anybody to say game over. We were done. We ran like scaredy cats going out. You know, it was amazing the power that I felt at that time. And I'm going to tell you, when we talk about the power of the resurrection, Jesus, and we're going to celebrate it in a few weeks. Oh, the power that went into that tomb. Could you imagine the power, oh, that brought Christ back to life? He had been slain on the cross, but now the power of the Holy Spirit goes in with the paddles of heaven and goes, woohoo, and Jesus comes alive. Oh, the old body's left behind. The new one is instantly there. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. Paul says, I want to know him and his power. What is that? The devil had his grip upon our master. And at that moment, that power came and Jesus was free. Come on. We're going to celebrate in a couple of weeks. Oh, that power. Can I tell you, Paul says, I want that power. I want to know him in his resurrection power. I want to know him in his deliverance power. I want to know him in the victory power. I want to know Jesus in that power that can set the sinner free. Hallelujah. I want to know him in the power that can loose any chain. That power. He says, I want to know that power. I'm going to tell you, God can do amazing things in that power. That power to conquer all our trials and our temptations. Come on, how many struggle? Don't raise your hand. Hey, but we all have trials and temptations in our life. Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection to overcome those things. He talks about the power that can take a sinner, some worthless, somebody that really mankind gave up on, but the power of Jesus Christ through the Word of God, enters into him, and that man is risen up as a new life and a new creation. That power that makes a person new. That power that makes their friends go, what happened to you? Come on, anybody say that to you? That power to take somebody. I'm going to tell you, I seen a deal the other day how we've took the Bible out of the school, but we ship them into the prisons. What if we put them back in the school? We wouldn't have as many prisons. Amen? Why? Because there's power. Woo! In the name of Jesus, to set people free. That power of the resurrection. Oh, to deliver people and to make a person new. He can take the sorriest drunk in town and make him a preacher. That power of God. Paul says, I want to know that power. God is the power, that power to raise from the dead. Now, we know the resurrection. I almost preached a deal on the resurrection today because there are more than one type of resurrection, but that power to raise somebody from the dead. Can I tell you, Paul felt that power when that young man fell out of the balcony, landed on the floor, and it killed him. And Paul said, get up! And the life came back into him. So if you fall asleep while I'm sleeping, there's hope, or while I'm preaching, there's hope for you. The power of the resurrection, or the power to bring somebody back to life. That power. Smith Wigglesworth that I preached about or talked about earlier, he raised more through the power of God, more than one person from the dead. I personally don't think that's happened. There's been a couple of iffies. But I'm going to tell you, that's what Paul said. I want to know that power. Guess what? Paul's pursuit allowed him to know the power. God is able to give us the power. He says, I want to know him in his sufferings. Fellowship. You know, the word fellowship means to relate with the sufferings. It means empathy. I want to know what he felt like in his sufferings. And often, none of us want to go there. Amen? Let's skip that. Matter of fact, let's mark that out of that scripture. Fellowship of his suffering. Let's just go right to the power of the resurrection and leave it there. But the fellowship of suffering, he says, I want to relate with his sufferings. You want to know how you can relate? You don't have to go to the cross. The way we can relate with his sufferings is because he shared righteousness. The reason he was on the cross is because he preached righteousness. The reason that he was on the cross is because he called out the sinner. The reason he was on the cross is because he preached Jesus and kingdom now. I'm going to tell you, we can relate with his suffering by opening our mouth and sharing the good news. Oh, if the church would just open up and wake up today, we need a church to wake up in America today that says, I'm willing to have fellowship with the suffering of Christ, that I'm going to preach against homosexuality. I'm going to preach against different things that have overtaken our nation. I'm going to preach the righteousness. John the Baptist, he suffered because he preached righteousness. Come on, he told Herod, hey, your wife is your brother's wife. You shouldn't have her. And it cost him his head, but he spoke what was right. I'm going to tell you, the devil doesn't care how big a church gets as long as it's not preaching righteousness. Amen? But you let a church start preaching the truth, and you're going to see some suffering. You're going to see some things that the enemy doesn't like us to preach righteousness. But I'm going to tell you, if we're going to have relationship or we're going to relate with his suffering, what got him in trouble, Jesus, was preaching the truth and sharing the truth. How many agree we need to share the truth today? It may cost you friends. I don't say to do it in a harsh way, but just to be in an anointed way to preach the truth, to suffer in his righteousness. I'm going to tell you, I got just a very short time here. Used to play tackle the man with the football. Any of y'all ever played that? That was without pads or anything like that. That's before pads came out. But we do that at recess. I mean, we get bloody nose. We get all kinds of issues. And I found out one thing. I was fairly quick. But if I got cornered, I found out one thing. To keep from getting tackled, I just throw the ball. And then no longer did I have the ball, so you couldn't tackle the man without the ball. And this is what I feel like today. The church is throwing the ball. We're preaching blessing. We're preaching all these self-helps, and we need to get the ball back. Come on. We need to get the ball back. And we need to start preaching Jesus, because we got a nation that needs to repent. We got a nation that needs to get right with God. And the only thing that's going to get them right with God is not another feel-good message, but a message that steps on their feet, a message that preaches the truth of the living God, that's going to stir their hearts up, and they're going to repent, and they're going to turn back. If my people will seek my face, 2 Chronicles 7:14 speaks of the very fact, then he will heal their land. Trump has nothing to do with it. We need to take the ball back. Suffer what comes with it. Amen? The reason I decided to pass it off, I've been such a pilot, took them 30 minutes to get them off of me, it felt like. I'm going to tell you, it's time we suffer and preach the righteousness of Christ. Conformable to his death. Listen, another thing that Paul spoke of in this passage is be conformed to his death. He put his own flesh and desires to death. Paul said, what my life has, I'm going to put to death, that he may know him and conform as Christ would. Christ gave everything that we may have everything. Amen. He put the flesh to the side. And Paul's wanting to do that. Romans 6, 5 and 7 says this: "For if we have been united together in likeness of death, of his death, certainly we also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him." Our old man was crucified. How many know crucifixion is death? We were crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he has died, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself and pick up your cross. Self, speaking of the flesh and who we are. The Bible speaks, Paul says, I want to be conformed to his death. My friend, when you preach that, hey, you need to die to yourself and follow Christ, it doesn't build big crowds, but I'm going to tell you, Paul's pursuit, his desire was to be like Christ. Christ gave up everything that you and me may have, life, and that he would do the will of the Father. And it should be the same desire for us as Christians, that we would give up things in our life to do the will of the Father while we're here on this earth, all the way to death. Now, Paul took it another step further. He gave his life for the message of Jesus Christ. He was beheaded for the message of Christ. He spent time in prison because they couldn't keep him quiet. Everything that Paul wanted to know about Christ in that verse came to pass in his life. That says that if I set my heart out to know him in the power of his resurrection, in his suffering, and also to conform to his death, I can also do the same things. Even though I'm not educated as much as others, even though I don't speak as eloquent as others, if I desire to go after Christ, I can accomplish it. But it doesn't just happen. We have to make our mind up to do it. Did you know my desire to know Christ will come with side effects? I'm in that phase of my life that I all the pills they give me, I'll read it, the side effects. I think, oh man, I think I'd rather die than have all that. Side effects. But I'm going to tell you, there's some side effects that come pursuing Christ. This is not all of them, but I'm going to give you some. One of them is that holiness is going to come into your life. That's a word that we don't preach about much anymore. The Bible, 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. In my conversation, that conversation is lifestyle also. It speaks to how I live and what I do, because it is written, be you holy, for he is holy. A side effect of going after Christ is that we're going to have holiness return to the church and holiness return to our lives. Another side effect is growing. The Bible says that we all should grow in the Lord. I shouldn't be the Christian that I was the day I got saved. I should know more about the Word of God. I should be more active in God's kingdom. I should be busy serving. I should be busy in ministry, whatever God calls me to do. I should be growing in the Lord. If you had a baby and that baby came in at 11 pounds and 5 ounces, that's a big baby. But and you would think, oh, this kid doesn't need to grow. But after a while, you would be saying, that child, something's wrong with that child, because they're still the same size they were the day they got born. Can I tell you the very natural thing for every Christian? When we pursue after Christ, the natural thing that's going to happen is that you're going to mature. You're going to perfect in your relationship with God, in the way you walk and serve God, because it's a natural side effect that you're going to mature and grow up in Jesus. Amen? We're going to grow up in Jesus, because when I'm pursuing him, I'm going to be growing and learning from him, because I am relating with him in my life. So, side effect, that's 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. I'll read it for you. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. Those things in us. Another thing, we be full of the Holy Ghost. How many know God wants us to be full of the Holy Ghost? You get close to Christ, you go after Christ, you decide to pursue Christ, I'll guarantee you something. Well, I think I can guarantee it. Because the Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit. You go after him, and you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. That's going to happen. You go after him, you're going to be filled. I'm not talking about when you get saved, you get the Spirit of God, but I'm talking about that second work of being filled with the Holy Spirit. There have been those that have preached and taught against the baptism of the Holy Spirit, go after Christ. Guess what happened to them? They got filled with the Holy Spirit. You go after the Lord. Just go after the Lord. And you're going to find that he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. After all, the Bible says he is the baptizer. Not me. But he is. And when you get close enough, you ever got close to somebody growing up at the swimming pool that you knew if you got too close to them, you're going in? Amen? Roaring Springs used to do that before they got all safety-wise, you know. We had a preacher, he got close to us one day, we threw him in. He had his cell phone in his pocket, wallet. Oh, we never thought about that. I wish I could tell you I was a teenager, but I wasn't. But I'm just going to tell you, you get close enough to Jesus. You go after him. You pursue him. And all the biased opinion against being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to find out wasn't true, because the Bible says you will be filled with the Holy Ghost, and he is the baptizer, and you can't get close enough. When you get too close to him, he's going to fill you full of the Holy Ghost. He's going to fill you full of the Spirit. That's why I believe in the Pentecostal days, people were going not after the assembly of God, not after a church. They were going after Jesus. They went after Jesus in the Brush Harbor days, and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got to move on. You'll stay on fire for him. You'll stay on fire going after the Lord. You're going to stay on fire. You're pursuing. You won't be the Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, that are called lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You're going to be on fire for God. Go after the Lord. Those are all some benefits, side effects of pursuing Jesus that will happen into our life. Last thing, one must be determined to know him better. I didn't put that on there. Must be determined. You know, Abraham Lincoln pointed this out to a young man, Isham Ravis, who had written Lincoln for advice. This is Lincoln's reply. My dearest sir, I have just reached home and found you your letter. If you are resolutely determined to make a lawyer of yourself, the thing is more than half done already. Listen to what he says. The thing is half done already because you are determined. It is but a small matter whether you read with anybody or not. I did not read with anyone. Get the books and read and study them till you understand them in their principal features. That is the main thing. It is of no consequence to be in a large town while you are reading. I read at New Salem, which never had 300 people living in it. The books and your capacity for understanding them are just the same all places. Always bear in mind that your own resolution to succeed is more important than any other one thing. Your determination to pursue God is more important than anything else, because if you are determined, you're going to accomplish what you're going after. That determination. Unwavering. You can sense this in Paul when Paul says to know him, I consider everything as rubbish to know him. You sense that there was nothing that was going to turn Paul. The enemy was not going to turn him. When he was thrown in prison, the enemy probably think, I've got him now. But guess what? Paul spits out all the epistles that we have that we read today. Oh, when it looked like things weren't going to go good for Paul, when there was an argument between him and his good buddy, Barnabas. You know, how many ever have relationship problems? Paul was not sidetracked, but he kept pursuing because he was determined. If we say we are determined, we are going to know Christ more than tomorrow than we did today. That determination. I want to encourage you this morning to understand that Christ wants us to pursue Him. He wants every Christian to know more about His resurrection power, freedom. Megan, if you'll come. He wants every Christian to relate with His suffering. And He wants all of us to be conformed unto His death. Every one of us this morning. Because that's what Christ is looking for. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes you can go heavy at something and then take a little break and not get back to it. Last summer I was heavy about walking and trying to stay in shape a little bit, and here come the panhandle winter and the wind, and hard to stay just consistent in the panhandle. But I'm going to tell you, I got to get back after it. Start walking again. Start getting my little gym out that I got. Do some flex working. And why? Because my body says so. But I'm going to tell you today, our spiritual walk can be the same way. We can have revival and think, man, there's not going to be another cold day in my relationship. And 3 weeks later, we've kind of let that drain out. What Paul did, he says, I'm not letting anything hinder me. See, what I'm talking about this morning doesn't, it's not affected by the weather of the panhandle. It's affected by whether or not I'm going to put Him first, and I'm going to have the desire in my heart to do it. We can have rain and hail and whatever outside, but if I'm determined to know Jesus more and His resurrection power, and if I'm determined to know Him and His suffering, and if I'm determined to be conformed to His image, to who He is, unto death, none of those things can affect me. The only thing that can keep me from doing that is me. So I want to encourage you this morning. Go after God. Amen.